Take a Man podcast, mailbag edition, marching on. Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. And our next question comes from Justin. What characteristics define an ideal wide receiver two, in quotes, ideal wide receiver two? I've seen so many Commanders fans saying the only true wide receiver two candidates on the roster are Noah Brown and Michael Gallup, while excluding Luke McCaffrey from the conversation. Luke certainly needs to develop his route running and separation ability, but is there anything about his body build or style of play that excludes him from developing into a wide receiver two? So Luke, Logan, this question is
he's talking about Luke, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This question is super interesting because I think this takes a very Madden definition to wide receiver two.
Can we peel the curtain back a little bit? Because I was like, I don't understand the question. You're like, it's because people play a lot of Madden. And
yeah.
I was like, it makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing makes more sense.
I think people think wide receiver one is like your outside number one target. Wide receiver two is your outside number two target. Wide receiver three is your slot receiver. Because although in Madden, you can adjust your slot receiver settings. Because for me, in my current franchise mode, I have wide receiver two, then go in the slot as it is my number one slot guy when I'm in three wide receiver packages.
It's like just like Alabama, man. That's how they do it too. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, I made a whole trade. It's a whole thing. I got this badass 6'7" X receiver outside. It's grab draft receiver, first round back to back years. Jaden's in his early 30s. I'm way deep in franchise mode, and I think we've won like 8 straight Super Bowls. It's fun. The point is, I think that like what we're really talking about here is the Z receiver. Right. So an X receiver is like your traditional wide receiver one. And most offenses, they call wide receiver two Z. And then you have your slot receiver who could be any number of different body types, the way the modern NFL is going. There's these power slots. There's these traditional like small, quick slots. And I think it is worth defining first, Logan. This would be a good football 101. So maybe we'll draw it up eventually. Maybe we should even do this today as a supplement. So dig off the tablet. And if there's not one on YouTube, then sorry, we didn't wind up doing it. But what is an X receiver? Let's start there. Just like definitionally, when you draw it up, what is an X receiver before we even get into the characteristics?
So, you know, obviously, like, by the rules of football, you need to have 7 people on the line of scrimmage. So, like, if you go back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, it's, you know, your tight end's on the ball, you have your 5 offensive linemen, and then you need to pick one receiver to be on the ball, and usually that's your X receiver. And so what kind of issues do they have? And usually the X receiver is by themselves isolated. So think about, again, you got to think 20 years ago, right, when you're in the I formation, right? You've got one receiver on the left, you've got a tight end and a Z receiver on the right. So just by being doubled up to that side, you're going to get different coverage structures. You're going to get off more because the Z receiver is off the ball. He has more space to work and do his route as opposed to the X, which is playing like isolation basketball, right? They're going to see a lot more press. They're going to get more opportunities in one-on-one coverage. Like that is the difference, right? In terms of like you got to kind of peel it back, right, to kind of that pro style, you know, from the dot kind of offense, right?
Right. I so the X is on the line, the Z is off the ball. Typically there's a tight end, but that can also in the way modern offenses work, sometimes the slot is the guy on the ball and the tight end is lining up off the ball on the same side or opposite the X receiver. Like there's a million different ways it can go, but definitionally the X is on the ball, the Z is off the ball.
On the ball away from the tight end is usually how you would define that. And again, like if you think about it from that context, it makes sense why you need like a freaking horse out there, right? Because you're going to get one-on-ones. And if you can get one-on-ones, you need that guy to win. And you're going to get more man coverage to that because they're isolated over there by themselves. That guy needs to be an absolute horse. Again, that's if you go back 20 years. Now, people are not in pro formation that out, you know, like the I formation that much anymore. Like you said, there's a receiver to your side, right? We're in 11 personnel more. So you've got the X, the F, which is kind of the adjuster in the offense in the slot. You've got the Y and you got the Z. And so because of this kind of shift towards a more heavy passing game, to me, very few offenses in the NFL operate with like a true X anymore. There are offenses that do it. Like I think about Pittsburgh with Pickens, like, cause they run the ball so much that X is on the ball out there for them. He's the kind of their isolation basketball player. He was before he got traded. But if you think about LA, for example, they don't really have a true X or a true Z. They do a good job of like getting those guys off the ball. At the time it was Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and moving around the formation. And when you look at the Commanders, like obviously there's an X and it's Terry McLaurin, but in terms of their Z and the Z skill set, I'm not sure if there's one that's like clearly defined because of how they use Zach, because of how they use Terry, because of how they use Austin. It really is just kind of a guy that you feel comfortable enough to, again, play off the ball and run certain route trees. So like digs, corners, posts, right? Like that's really what it boils down to. Can you block on the perimeter for a screen? So when it comes to like a Z skill set in this offense, it's a little bit different than what you'd say like a traditional Z would be, if that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, they need to be, in some ways, some of the skills of a traditional X. Like, you know, you're letting Terry do a lot of different stuff. And like Noah Brown, you know, he's running a lot of comebacks. He's running a lot of digs. He's running some of those posts. And you know, they're not always to run posts for the sake of like, hey, we're going to throw you the deep one on the post. It's like, we need you to clear out. So do you have the horsepower to get down the field and carry defenders with you to clear space underneath for Zach Ertz? Because if we're talking about like who's target to in this offense, it's Zach. Like Terry is the primary guy who they're trying to get the ball to. Zach is the next most frequent guy because obviously depending on the situation, he could be the number one target. And then it's kind of like, what else do you need? And so that to me, from a definition standpoint of like wide receiver two, yes, Gallup has played on the outside and his traditional like speed, that is very helpful in that role for sure. And then you also have Noah, who's like the big physical guy. And like, again, Noah's built like an X in a lot of ways. He's the big physical guy.
He played a little bit
guy.
Of X, like kind of that X role, you know, like when Terry was moving around a little bit, like he's big enough to do that. So that's why he's a valuable resource.
And then you have Luke, who is a bigger guy, but has played in the slot mostly in college and, you know, moved around somewhat. Like Luke kind of lined up everywhere last year.
Yeah.
And in fact, Logan, while you talk about what Luke can be and the idea of him playing outside and whatever, I'll look up his alignments for last year.
I'm going to take a slight digression while Craig's looking this stuff up. Like, I think I also think Deebo Samuel is a fine two. You know what I mean? Like in the sense that like when you watch him in San Francisco, like he's running Z receiver type stuff. And people say, what do you mean by that? I'm saying like he's lined up on the perimeter. Kyle did a good job of like motioning him to spots. The motion keeps the coverage off. He's not a super nuanced route runner versus man-to-man coverage, but he's good enough to win on, like, I mean, half of his explosive targets last year were on deep digs, right? The other half were on choice routes from the slot. So I think that's the other thing, man. Like, teams are getting so good at moving guys around the offensive formation to kind of maximize what they do, right? Like, I don't know if I would put Noah Brown in the slot. Like, I don't know if he's got the skill set to do that, but Deebo can do that, right? Deebo can also do a little bit on the perimeter. That gives your offense a little bit more flexibility, right? So, like, when Debo's on the field, let's say with Luke McCaffrey and Terry, all of a sudden you've got a guy in Luke who can play inside and he can also play outside. And Deebo can do the same thing. So the matchup game becomes a little bit more challenging. That's one of the reasons I go back to LA, that like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are so good because they can do a little bit of both, right? So they can move you around to find the best matchup. And ultimately, that's what you want. So I think like Gallup's an interesting one because I think he can do both, right? Obviously, we'll see where he's at from a health standpoint. But I think ultimately, like that's what you're hoping for with Luke because he's big enough and physical enough to win on the perimeter, but he's also got enough kind of feel and route savvy to win from the slot if he continues to develop. And I think that's the big thing with Luke is the developmental arc for him, right? Like where ultimately does he feel most comfortable? Because I think the thing that maybe separates him from a true perimeter player is the raw horsepower, right? Deebo Samuel's got great acceleration, maybe not great top-end speed, but great acceleration, great deceleration. Noah Brown, great vertical route tree, right? Gallup, I remember watching him in Dallas, like obviously very explosive vertically, right? Because and the reason that's important on the perimeter is because you need to get the contour of the defense to back up, right? So the guys like Zach, guys like Austin can win in underneath coverages, right? If I can't push you vertically, everything stays really, really flat. I think it's one of the reasons that, you know, this offseason, Sean in LA has gone out and found some more explosive speed on the perimeter, right? Because you need to get people to back up off of you. And so I think ultimately, like, maybe that would be the one limitation I could see. And I think Luke's a fast guy, so don't get me wrong. But, like, does he have that elite game speed that makes you feel threatened deep when he's on the field? And again, like Noah Brown, maybe not the fastest guy in the world, but you can throw the ball deep to him and he's going to make you right. I think that's evidenced by all the PIs that he was able to draw last year. So I think that's where I would kind of, with Luke's development to a perimeter player, just have a question about his long-term prospects there.
Yeah. So a couple of things on Luke. One, 4.46, 1.52. 4.46, 40, 1.52, 10-yard split. So he's got some horsepower, but it's not quite as explosive as, you know, like a Michael Gallup in his prime, for sure. Yeah. Last year, he started mostly in the slot, but later in the season, things shifted and he was a little bit more split as the season went on. And then ultimately, you know, the last couple of games, he's playing more outside than he is in the slot. All in all, last season, 315 snaps in the slot, 125 out wide. So he did some of both. And I think that when you look at the Commanders' offense, one of the really valuable things that they can do is they have guys that can do multiple things, which allows you to kind of change personnel without changing the actual humans on the field. And so you can have a package where Debo's in the slot and Luke is outside. You can call a play from that package. You cannot make any substitutions, see how the defense is going to match it, flip those two guys, and now can you create a matchup for, let's say, Debo to ensure that he has what you want. Or you can, you know, okay, now let's go Luke and Debo outside and Terry in the slot. And I think it's really easy for fans to like get kind of carried away. And frankly, for us to get carried away. I'm not going to just put that on fans, you know, going crazy with ideas, but like we do that kind of stuff all the time. You could do this, you could do that, you could do this, you could do that. But like the opportunities exist to do those things. And especially with guys like Austin and Zach, who can line up in multiple places as tight ends and running backs. There's just a ton of opportunity to try to create good matchups for your guys to get easy wins for your quarterback. And while you certainly want guys to feel comfortable in a role and kind of be at their best spot, which isn't going to be moving around constantly, there's a fine line and a fine balance of moving around enough to make you not predictable and to make sure you're getting the matchups you want. And sometimes that's going to change week over week, depending on the defense structurally and personnel wise as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. So, I mean, but back to the original question, like in terms of Z receiver, right? Obviously, the matchup thing is really important. And you see that, you know, like obviously, like with Terry, you see it. I remember when I played with Julio, they did this all the time, right? Like you just want him in the spot where he's most likely going to catch the football, right? Because he's that good. And so, like, that flexibility gives you some more dexterity in getting that done. So I look at, again, San Francisco, the way they use Debo, like they found, they kind of knew what he was good at. They said, we're going to make sure you're doing these things well. And again, he was able to be a serviceable kind of like by alignment, you're two, even though he's the primary target, right? He's off the ball. And he, quite frankly, like Jennings in that offense is really kind of their true X because of his ability to win versus man-to-man coverage and win at the line of scrimmage. So again, like it's just easier. I think it's because they're off the ball players. It's just easier to hide some of their deficiencies as route runners, right? That doesn't mean that they're bad route runners. Like you ultimately you want a guy who's great at separating. And I think that's one of the things you see in terms of Noah Brown adding value, right? Michael Gallup, when he was in Dallas, like that was his value, was his ability to do that. And so I think the thing with Luke that I come back to is some of the stuff that you see with Ben Sinnott too, right? You see an explosive, powerful athlete, right? Who's got some good football IQ and a good physicality to him. But like some of the nuances, and it makes sense for Luke because he's new to the position, some of his top flight ability to separate hasn't really manifested itself yet, right? We talked a little bit about like his separation metrics a couple shows ago and how those are somewhat deceiving. Like, can he refine some of his break work, some of his cut work, some of his stem work? And it's the same stuff with Ben. Like that, those are the things that separate mediocre pass catchers from top flight pass catchers in the NFL. Like that, there's a reason we're talking about Noah Brown and Michael Gallup as opposed to Luke McCaffrey, right? Because of the skill set that those guys have cultivated over the multi-year NFL careers, right? So Luke's still developing that, right? And I do think he can get there. It's just about how much of a jump does he take from last year to this year to be in that conversation as your true two, right? And whether that Z, X, F, whatever it is, kind of playmaker at that spot.
And that's when ultimately, if you hear Adam Peters or other execs and other teams it's all across all of sports saying, oh, we're betting on the person. Like the reason you draft Luke McCaffrey at pick 100, or I think it was pick 100, pick 99, at the end of the third round is because while he may not have that stuff to go, he can develop it. And you know he's going to put in the work to understand that nuance, practice it rep over rep over rep over rep. You know him, you know the work ethic. Like those are the things that you're betting on. Now he's got to do it. It's got to take. It's really hard to do that stuff at an NFL level. So you might never get there, but at least you're going to give it a shot versus a guy who maybe is even a little more athletically gifted, but is always just going to rely on those athletic gifts and isn't going to work the way that you want to ever have that stuff come to reality. Plus, you're also betting on, you know, Luke's football IQ, that he is going to understand the nuances of the position, where he needs to be, timing, things like that, where he can make a contribution on that level too. And he's not going to, you know, run the wrong route half the time or do other silly stuff that gets you in trouble as an offense.
And I think that's another important thing to remember, is it looks different depending on the player, right? And so as long as the coach understands like what the player does well and how to maximize that, like you can get a productive player with a variety of skill sets. Like I look at Puka Nacua as a great example of this. Like he's not overly fast, right? But he does some of the fundamental stuff really, really well. He catches the football at a very high level. He's competitive in contested catch situations. He gets in and out of his cuts really well. He stays grounded through the catch point. Like he's tough in the run game, which is important in that offense because it allows them to run play action stuff with 11 personnel. And so they've built an offense around that skill set. And in a different offense, like he might not be as effective, right? I think it'll be interesting to see how Cooper Kupp does in his new landing spot in Seattle, right? Because again, like that offense was so curated for what he does well. So with Luke, you can definitely find a way to make it work. He's got to show that he warrants that level of investment, I think, is what I will ultimately come back to, right? Because I think, like you said, the athletic floor is there, the football IQ is there, but there's something really challenging and really important, like being on an NFL team, watching NFL practices, like going out there, like as a player in every spot I went, like you have to earn that right for the staff to give you those touches. And if you're not showing that you're going to earn it, they're going to find someone else who's earned it. And I think that's kind of the tipping point right now for this offseason for Luke is, let's say he goes out and like in 7-on-7, he's open all the time. He's got a great rapport with Jane Daniels. Like, all right, this is great. Let's see if we can kind of find ways to get him more involved and speak to his skill set more. Oh, he's doing better with that. Let's keep pushing that. And hopefully he becomes the two that we think he can based on the production and based how he's looking in practice. But again, that stuff takes time and it takes a lot of trust to be earned for that player, for the staff.
No doubt. And there'd be nothing better than if we know by the end of the 2025 season that Luke can be a two and Jalen Lane could be a three. And then like you're set. You've got, you know, Terry, who's going to get his extension here, hopefully sooner rather than later. And then you've got these two young guys on rookie deals for the next couple of years to round out your receiver room. That's awesome. You can go spend money other places. You can spend it on the O-line. You can spend it on a tight end. You can spend it on the defensive side of the ball, obviously. So there's a lot of different stuff that would be great. And obviously, you know, throw Ben Sinnott in there too. You mentioned him in that answer, like, if he can develop as a former second round pick and you don't even have to spend any more resources on tight end, like you're in a great place. And you know, obviously we're not trying to kick Zach out the door. Zach can stay as long as he wants.
As long as he wants.
Absolutely. He also, you know, we know that he's on the back nine at the very least of his career. All right, let's go one more draft pick question from last year to wrap us up here on Take Command.